guys, welcome back to Wine, Crime, and TV Time. I'm Kaylee.
And I'm Emily.
And today I think we're kind of just going to get started right into our crime topic. So we have a true crime case for you today. This is the case of the Watts family from Colorado. This case happened over the past year and a half, I would say. Mm-hmm. I believe that it kind of all started in August of 2018, and we still kind of have some evidence even coming out now in, well, it was coming out in October, and we're in November now. So a lot has come out since then, and it's kind of, I think, the jump off of modern crime, if that makes sense. I don't mean to label it as something, but it's almost like we haven't had anything like this where we've had so much available to us, like evidence wise, mm-hmm. and even everything that's happened after the fact. You know what right. I mean? So I'm kind of just going to jump in. I have taken quite a bit of notes on this, and we'll just kind of get started. So I want to start at the way beginning of this, prior to the case even starting, so that I can set a true timeline as to when all of the events happened in order. So I want to first start out by talking about the people that we're speaking of are Chris and Shanann Watts. Those are going to be the two main people of this topic. Shanann Watts was born Shanann Ruchek. I believe that's how you say that, right?
Yeah, I think
Ruchek?
That's how you say
Rusek?
It
may be Rusek.
I heard Ruchek.
I thought it was Ruchek too. Yeah. She was born not far from where we are in Passaic, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. On January 10th, 1984. So, for anybody who is interested in astrology...
I knew that was coming.
Shanann was a Capricorn. So, Capricorns are known to be super hardworking, super loyal, super devoted. Yeah, that's kind of some of their positives. They can be a little too hardworking, a little detached, even. So yeah, that's just like a little bit of a background. And then we have Chris Watts, who was born on May 16th, 1985. So about a year and a half later, in Spring Lake, North Carolina. So Chris was a Taurus, actually. And Taurans and Capricorns are actually known to be like super compatible. Taurans are also very loyal, which makes this case a little bit like mind-blowing to me, actually, because Taurans are known to be super, super loyal. They're also known to be a little lazy, which I don't find that, actually, from Chris Watts at all. I don't Mm-mm. find him to be a lazy person. Mm-mm. But yeah, they're known to be, like, super interested in food. I know that sounds weird.
Same.
Super same also, as Emily munches on her bread that I already scarfed down. but yeah, they're known to be like family people. They really, really care about their family. So this is a very interesting case. And that was one of the first things that stuck out to me about this was the fact that I found out that he was a Taurus. And I was like, interesting, because I find them to be so devoted and loyal to their family. Mm. And what happens, you'll learn that he's not so loyal and devoted to his family. So, just like a brief background, Chris actually had dreams of being a pit mechanic for NASCAR. He actually attended school through NASCAR so that he could become a mechanic through them and, you know, work on the cars in the pit. Shanann and Chris met in 2010 through Facebook. So Shanann got a friend request from Chris. I believe that they had a mutual friend who tried to convince Shanann of accepting said friend request and maybe going on a date with him. She wasn't interested, but she finally accepted it, not thinking anything would go anywhere. And eventually they kind of connected when Shanann was in a really bad place in her life. She was diagnosed with lupus, I believe, in 2008. And she had also just gone through a divorce. So she was married prior to all of this.
So young.
I know. She was really young. She was married. She had bought a house. This, that, and the other thing. But went through a divorce. Was diagnosed with lupus. And actually quit her job of 9 years. Due to the entire lupus situation. And gave Chris a chance. And from there on, they just kind of like... I think their relationship just kind of blossomed, right? Yeah. Like, they,
I think I remember reading that, I guess on one of their first couple dates, she was having a struggle with her lupus, and she was falling asleep, and she fell asleep on him, and he just was okay with it, and he just chilled and held her.
Right, like, he was really good to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I also remember that, like, when they first got together... She actually asked him to go to a colonoscopy appointment with him, with her. Yeah. So she had a colonoscopy appointment and he went with her to...
Imagine being like, hey, do you want to go to my ass appointment?
I know, my ass appointment, please come. So I thought that was a little bit interesting. So yeah, I believe that the couple married, they wound up, obviously everything flourished and they married in November, I think it was November 3rd of 2012.
Today's November 3rd.
Oh my god, today is November 3rd. How weird that we're, like, covering this at that time.
Oh wow, okay, continue.
So yeah, they married on November 3rd, 2012, in North Carolina. And his family actually didn't attend the wedding. From what I understand, Shanann and his family had a lot of issues. And we'll kind of touch on that a lot more later, but... There was a lot of beef between Shanann and the family, and they did not attend the wedding for that reason, which I can't understand. Like,
that's your son.
It's your son. I can't. And I'm not talking about extended family. I'm talking about his parents. Didn't. Yeah. His dad may have. So I don't think his dad had an issue with her. I don't know. But I know his mom for sure.
Did not. Yeah.
Did not attend this wedding, which is so sad. So, yeah, so then in 2013, they decided they were going to move to Frederick, Colorado from North Carolina. And the main reason for this was because they wanted to see if, for Shanann's medical condition, this would be better for her. So they would get away from, like, the allergies and the stuff that, you know, North Carolina brought on mm-hmm. by going to North Carolina. And his family had...
By going to Colorado.
Did I say going to North Carolina? By going to Colorado. his family had a huge issue with this. So they felt that Shanann was taking him away from them. It seemed like they were very controlling. From everything I've read, they seemed controlling. It wasn't just like a typical concerned parent. They seemed over the top controlling.
Mm-hmm.
Like that she was taking him away.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of weird. So after that, they both moved out there. Shanann and Chris actually both got a job together. They were both working at a Ford dealership.
Yeah.
And Shanann was a car saleswoman, which a lot of people don't take mention to that, I find, when it comes to speaking on her.
I feel like they just think about her thrive.
They do, and they don't mention the fact that she was a car salesperson. And I find that so interesting. Because of the fact that she did Thrive and Lavelle and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that, like, she was such a saleswoman. Mm-hmm. Like, she could really sell you something.
She could have been a great real estate agent.
For sure.
She Reach definitely... out to me if you want to become a Keller Williams real estate agent.
So, she started working at Ford, and I'm not exactly sure what the Ford dealership was, but she was working there as a saleswoman, and Chris was working there as a mechanic. So, they were working together. They bought a house. They were living together. And I have written down here, eventually, Chris started working at Anadarko, like, within the year, I think. So, Anadarko is a oil company.
I also wonder how you go from being working at a car dealership to working at an oil company. Like, how do you go?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. But I do feel as though, like, people who work in the oil industry, like, they're always looking for people because they're so busy. Mm. And maybe it's just that, like, he saw a new opportunity for growth, right. You know?
Right.
So I don't know. But.
So here we are.
Eventually, Bella, their first daughter, was born December 17th, 2013. So everything went well from then on. I don't have any notes from there. And then Celeste, who they called Cece, was born July 17th, 2015. And I find it kind of interesting they were both born on the 17th. I know that's not, like, necessarily relevant, but that's interesting.
Still a thing to keep in mind.
So, from then on, I believe it was right after Celeste was born that Shanann started working for Lavelle, which is a,
it's a pyramid scheme.
I wanted to say a pyramid scheme, but I wanted to put it in better words. It's like an Avon, you know, you're selling for the benefit of somebody else. So yeah, so Thrive was basically a pyramid scheme and, you know, but Shanann had worked her way pretty far up. And this is, I'm definitely jumping ahead by saying that. But she eventually had worked her way pretty far up. I believe within a month, she had gotten a car. She got a Lexus within a month, I think. And then she was going on all these trips and this, that, and the other thing. So she was super, super active on Facebook. And while on Facebook, she made it so clear that she adored her husband. Like, that's one thing I really, really noticed about her is, like, all she did was talk about how great Chris was.
Yeah, and as a married woman, I will never talk that well about Dennis.
Right, and, like, you're in a happy relationship.
But, like, also, hopefully my husband doesn't murder me, so, like...
But she adored him. Like, she would post things about him for Father's Day and his birthday and stuff like that, and, like, say how lucky her and her girls were to have him. So from there on... Shanann's parents actually moved in with them, and they lived with them for about 15 to 16 months in late 2015 to early 2017. And I found that kind of interesting. I almost wonder if that was a bit of a trigger.
People say that a lot.
Right, like living with parents. I don't know. I find that very, very interesting. I almost wonder if that was a bit of a trigger for what went wrong. I'm sorry. What went wrong in their relationship? What detrimented them? And not to say what caused him to react this way, but what started, what was the jump off?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's interesting that that's what happened when it did. Because then in 2015, they filed for bankruptcy, and they were about $240,000 in debt.
I could not imagine that.
Yeah, that's an estimate.
I think the most, quote-unquote,
I'm sorry, $440 in debt.
Even worse. I mean, I wouldn't even... I don't know.
But that all being said, this is including their home.
Including my home, I don't think I'm even at... 100.
But don't you think that their home was worth at least $400,000?
Right, my home was not worth.
Exactly. So this is including their home.
Yeah, they live in a different...
So in my mind, let's say maybe they were... I think they were less than $100,000 in debt, including their... Not including their home. Not including their home. Okay. Right? Because your home, yes, it's part of your debt-to-income ratio.
Yeah.
However, they lived in a $400,000 home, and they were $440,000 in debt. That, to me, says they
were... So they only had $40,000 of debt.
Of credit card debt, of medical bills. She had a lot of medical bills.
Yeah, lupus.
Her kids had some medical bills. So, you know, she had lupus, like I said. You know, she had lupus, so... Anyway, I also have here... Oh, this is kind of stemming from there. So from that point on, from 2015 even to 2017, while her parents were living with them, nothing seemed to go awry. But Chris was a very, like, standoffish, quiet kind of guy. Like, her parents thought he was a great guy. Like,
he seemed like a great guy.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything seemed okay. And eventually in 2018, I think it was May, May of 2018, she found out she was pregnant.
I want to say it was that.
Maybe even June. It may have been June, because I almost want to say he was with the mistress when she found out she was pregnant.
He was.
So I think it was in the beginning of June of 2018, Shanann found out she was pregnant with their third child. And,
that video.
Oh my God. So there's a video actually of Shanann announcing her pregnancy to Chris. And what's crazy about all of this to me is the fact that you can go on Facebook and see so much of their lives.
Cause she didn't hide anything.
Yeah. Well, she didn't hide anything. She was working for a company that grew through social media. Mm-hmm. So she posted so much. So she posted a video. She posted a picture first, actually, of her two girls and a chalkboard. And the chalkboard said Big Sister 101 or something like that. And it showed Bella, her oldest, kind of pointing at the chalkboard, and her youngest, Celeste, sitting on the floor, who looked a little bit upset. Like Celeste, or Bella was teaching Celeste how to be a big sister type of thing.
Right.
And I think she captioned it with something along the lines of like it or not, Celeste, like, you're going to be a big sister, or something like that, you know, something really cute. And after that, I want to say a day later, she posted actually a video of her telling her husband, Chris, that she's pregnant with their third child.
This video just disturbs me. Like, even before I knew exactly what happened to her, I was like, there's something not right.
Because about that video.
Yep. If I told my husband I was pregnant, and if he had that reaction, I would be like, what the fuck?
Should we play that?
Can we play that?
I can play it on my phone.
Yeah, let's play that on your phone. Because that video, he's just so not into it.
No, he's so not interested. He's so... In fact, he asks a question. he totally is. And I before I even put this on, I want to tell you, he asks a question and says, she shows him the pregnancy test, and there's two pink lines because that means that she's pregnant. And this is what really, really irks me. You know what? I'm going to play this and then I'll explain to you guys what I'm talking about. So she's wearing a shirt that says, oops, we did it again. And he's walking in the door. And that's their dog, Dieter, that you can hear. Okay. Here he's coming in.
Fucking Dieter.
We did it again. I like that shirt. Really? That's awesome. So pink means...
That's just the test.
I know. It just says that pink is going to be girls.
I don't know. Just the test.
That's awesome. Guess when you want to, it happens.
Okay, so I'm going to say my thoughts on that real quick. My first thought watching that, and this could be because I know what happens eventually. If I were watching that in the moment, I may not feel this way. I agree. I think I would feel this way, but I'm like, just okay, trying to give the benefit of the doubt.
Why is that guy not more excited than I don't know.
No,
I don't,
right.
I don't expect him to be setting fireworks off in their house, but be like... Oh my God, but
like,
he's
excited,
like...
excited, but he's like... like a creepy laugh. When you want it to happen, it happens. That's what's creepy about it. And also to me, the fact that he picks up... This is the thing. This is a guy who has two children. Mm-hmm. And he picks up the test and says, does the pink mean it's going to be a girl?
Like, you've had...
You have had two other children. How do you not know?
He has had two other girls, though.
He has Okay. Yeah. In his defense, he has no had two other girls. No defense. However, you've had two other children and had tests come out the same. How, as a parent, can you think that you can tell the sex that early? You know what I mean?
Well, men are stupid.
So, this happens, and whatever. Everything seems to be okay. Shanann decides to take, and it's not like she last minute decides this. She has been planning to take a 6-week trip to North Carolina to be with her family. Chris's family also lives there. So she's planning on visiting them as well. And this, I believe, is in like late June to July, sometime in July. Maybe even the way beginning of August. And Chris actually stayed behind, excuse me, and met them there for a week, I believe in late July, and they came back together, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So they're there, and then they wind up coming back together. So while they're there, or while Shanann's there, I should say, and Chris is still at home, Shanann felt her marriage was kind of falling apart. She texted friends multiple times about, you know, she was saying things like, he says that we're no longer compatible. I don't know what's happened. He's not answering my phone calls. And you can see all this. Like, when you look at the discovery, you see what she was feeling. Like, she called him and he wouldn't answer and called him maybe 4 times. And then finally would text him and be like, sorry for bothering you. I just wanted to talk to you. You know.
Yeah, because it's hard when you go from, like, living with the person that you love and everything's great and copacetic, and then all of a sudden you go from Colorado to North Carolina, and then that person starts ignoring you. You have 2 children with that person, a child on the way, and then they just start ignoring you.
Right, and I think that you're even more, like,
she's more emotional.
Emotional when you're pregnant. Yeah. So what's crazy about the whole thing is to go from, and from what Shanann says in her text messages to her friends, you know, we went from not being able to keep our hands off of each other. And she's talking about these intimate details with her friends, which
I would never say to anyone.
I would, like, and that's the crazy thing to me is, like, she's so comfortable with her friends to say this. And, like, I have really, really good friends, but I don't talk about that with my friends. You know what I mean? Like,
I definitely don't, because my one
maybe best if friend, it were, like, sticking out, I would.
But I, my one best friend is you, and you are related to my husband. Therefore, I would not be like,
like, you wouldn't be telling me about your sex life.
Yeah.
But just, maybe if something were off, you would.
Maybe. I mean, I feel I would feel comfortable enough to, but at the same time be like, that's your cousin. I don't know.
And maybe that's where she was. Maybe she was in a place of, like,
because they know each other very well as well.
And, like, it got to a point that she was like, I need to talk about this. This isn't normal. This isn't okay.
Right.
So she's texting her friends that, you know, he's not responding to her. This is so bizarre for her. She's away, yes, but they're married. They're a couple. They've never experienced anything like this. And she even says to them that Chris texted her saying, you know, I'm comfortable with these 2 kids, with Bella and Celeste, and I don't want this 3rd baby.
Right.
And I can't imagine, as a mom who's carrying my 3rd child, I'm in a marriage that I think is
failing.
But not even yet, right? Like, you're just starting to find out that it's failing. Mm-hmm. You're in a marriage that you think is happy and butterflies, and you're in love. You think you're in love with this person. And this has to be, like, flabbergasting to find that out. So she's telling her friends that Chris doesn't want this baby, blah, blah, blah. And her friends are telling her, they're like, everything's going to be fine. He's just scared. He's just worried about the money. He's just nervous. Whatever. So eventually Chris arrives to North Carolina, and from what I understand, he was very, very cold and distant to Shanann and wouldn't touch her or love her. He didn't even kiss her or hug her when he got to the airport, like when they saw each other at the airport,
so
which
weird.
I can't even imagine. Like, this may sound so ridiculous, and I may be just relating my own life, but when I'm not even married, I don't have a husband, but when my boyfriend gets home from work, like, the first thing he does is come over and kiss me and say hello.
Very annoying, you know? Sometimes, though. Very clingy.
Right. And, like...
But you still want that.
But I crave that.
Yeah, I'm like, but also keep doing it.
And if he didn't do that, I'd be like, what's wrong? Fuck?
Exactly.
So, for her, I can't even imagine. You haven't seen each other in, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks at this point. And he didn't even kiss you or even hug you hello at the airport.
Fucking high-fiver.
Something,
yeah.
So, she found that, you know, hurtful, and again, she's reaching out to her friends, telling them, like, that this is going on. So, that night, I believe it was that night, she actually tried to have sex with him, and he rejected her. And it hurt her, and I can't even imagine what that feels like for a woman, especially because I feel like a guy is so much more interested when it comes to sex, and a woman is going to kind of be like, okay, fine, whatever. For the most part, I'm not sitting here saying that, like, it's always on a guy's, like playing level, but what I'm saying is for a woman to put herself out there and be like, I want to have sex with you. Like, yeah. I want to fuck you. Like, is pretty much what she was saying.
Yeah.
And for him to say no, like, I can't imagine what I would feel like if that were me.
I get definitely annoyed if my husband says, oh, no, like, I'm tired. I'm like, what the fuck?
Right, but then any other day, he's like,
yeah.
And then if you said no, it's he'd be like, it would be an issue.
Yeah. So, like, I get that.
So that kind of happens, and she's hurt, she's texting her friends, whatever. She actually wound up canceling, because while she was in North Carolina, she had a doctor there as well, that she was going to doctor's appointments, and she actually went to an appointment that week, and I guess she went to grab his hand, like, to hold her hand, like a type of one of
these. I just want everyone to know that Kaylee grabbed my hand when she said that.
Like, as just letting her know what it was like.
Yeah.
She went to, like, grab his hand, and he pulled away. Yes.
Cool.
No, but he pulled away from her grabbing his hand, and she, like... From what I understand, she also motioned for him to hold her. He wouldn't hold her. Like, it was a whole thing. Like, he would not reciprocate her feelings at all. So what she wound up doing was the next week, because they were flying home the next week, and that weekend they were going to have a gender reveal for their third baby to announce what the sex was. And she actually canceled her gender reveal because she was so...
upset,
distraught about, you know, the way he was when it came to this baby and the way that he was when it came to her. So she was upset, so she canceled and postponed her gender reveal. Now, while she was down there, I want to say I believe this was when Chris was there, but I'm not 100% positive. There was a period in time that Shanann let the girls go with Chris's parents.
This was before he came down.
It was before?
Mm-hmm.
So this must have been right before he came down. She let the girls go with Chris's parents. They were having some sort of I don't know if it was a birthday party or some sort of a party for one of his nieces or nephews. And there... The information is a little bit twisted here, and I can't really find what the truth was, but there is information that ice cream was given to her girls. Who did both of them?
I think it was just one.
Was it just Bella?
I think it was just her.
So Bella had a severe nut allergy,
right,
from what I understand. And there was ice cream pretty much given to her. Now, this is one side of the story. Ice cream was given to her that had nuts in it and could have killed her.
Side note, butter pecan ice cream is bomb.
So now, but what I've heard are so many different accounts of the type of ice cream, the ice cream being given to her, XYZ. So... I've heard pistachio in a lot of the confessions with Chris. He claims it was pistachio ice cream that his parents gave to Bella and Celeste. I've also heard that it was vanilla bean, which tends to have nut traces in it. And I've also heard butter pecan, which is obviously an ice cream made from nuts. Now, I've also heard from the Watt side of this whole entire thing that there was no ice cream given to her. They put out actual, not ice cream pops, but like almost bars. Like if you were to have a fudge icicle type of deal, but they had vanilla ice cream pops.
So like could be vanilla bean.
Sure. They put them out on the counter for all the kids to grab and blah, 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 blah. Didn't disclose the fact that it was what it was. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think anybody will know to this day. You know what I'm saying? Because the Watts are going to have their story, and unfortunately, Shanann's not here to tell her side. But from what I understand, I guess somebody at that party called Shanann.
Yep.
And told her what was happening. And she literally went there to go pick up her girls. And she went inside and confronted them, which...
So clearly there was enough of an issue
for someone
to call Shanann.
There was. And that's my whole thing. There was enough of an issue to call Shanann, which is why I can't understand what the Watts were thinking. Other than, the only thing I can think that the Watts were thinking, and this is so mean and conniving, is that they were thinking, like, you know, we're going to prove that Bella doesn't have a nut allergy by giving her this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I could be totally wrong and whatever, but somebody called Shanann. That's what it all comes down to. Somebody called Shanann and told her about the situation. And regardless of the situation, why would you put your grandkids in danger? You know what I mean? And that's what I come back to. There are times that I'm like, well, in the Watts defense, XYZ, why would you put your grandkids in danger? Why would you, knowing that at least one, I don't know if Cece had allergies too, she may have too, but why would you put at least one of your grandchildren in danger by putting out ice cream that could kill them?
Right.
You know? And the whole reason I say Cece is because after this, prior to this, maybe a week later, not even, Shanann made a post on Facebook, and it was a picture of Cece, about how kids are bullies and kids are mean, especially to kids who have allergies. And she read a story about, you know, a kid having a peanut allergy and somebody bringing in something with peanuts and blah, 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 blah. That's why it made me think that maybe Cece did too. It wasn't just Bella or whatever. But besides the point, that all went on, and that was a big thing. Actually, his family wound up calling it Nutgate. That's what they were calling it. And Shanann reached out to Chris, and Chris seemed irritated, and I think that she got to a point, though, that she was like, you're not even taking my side. Like, I think that he wound up kind of taking his parents' side to an extent in Shanann's mind.
He's probably like, but did you die, though?
Right. And she was pissed off that he didn't stand up for her, pretty much. That's what I kind of got from the situation, but eventually he did, which is kind of surprising considering the fact that their relationship was where it was.
Right.
So while Shanann was gone, Chris actually started to grow a relationship or start an affair with a woman named Nicole Kessinger, who claims that they met in the beginning of June, maybe late May, and continued their relationship on while Shanann was away in Colorado. I mean, I can only imagine what their relationship grew to while Shanann was in Colorado. Because she's...
in North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry. In North Carolina.
The wine is kicking in.
I can only imagine what it grew to, though, while she was in North Carolina. She's there for 6 weeks.
We're never going to know 100%. We're never going to know. We're going to hear, like, bits and pieces, and it doesn't sound as bad. Like, I don't know. I just think of, like, if I were in Chris... oh, God, I would never be. But if I were in his position, and my significant other was away for a month, of course my girlfriend would be over all the time. Of course I would be spending all my time with her. And they're like, oh, we only hung out like this amount of time. Like, it's bullshit. They hung out more than
of course what they said.
It's just
so pretty much right now I just kind of want to stick to the facts of it before I get into what actually happened. But Nicole Kessinger also worked at Anadarko with Chris and claims that she met him in approximately June 2018. She said that she was aware that he was married and had children, but he had explained to her that he was separating. When he was leaving to go to North Carolina, I believe that he actually told her that, you know, I'm going there to see my family, and it doesn't really have anything to do with Shanann. I just want to see my kids and my family and blah, 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 blah. And from what Nicole says, she actually encouraged him to try to fix the relationship with Shanann. This is what she says.
Bullshit.
At this point in time, she says that she encouraged him to try to fix the relationship with Shanann, try to get things on better terms. I mean, while he was away, she had been to his house and seen pictures of him with his kids and his wife. And she said that she remembers thinking, why is he, you know, like, abandoning this family? Like, he has a beautiful family. Like, she said she remembered thinking he has a beautiful family. Mm-hmm. And what is he doing?
She also claims that she was only there one time, though.
She does. So, but it I think says, so I also wrote down that they first met outside of work. This was in late June at a park near her house. I guess this was like their first date, if you will. Nicole first went to his house on July 4th. So at this point in time, I believe Shanann was away for about a week in North Carolina, and the whole reason she went to his house on the 4th was because she helped Chris set up a fitness app on his phone.
Yep.
They were, like, setting up his workout routine and his meal prep and everything like that, and she said they ate lunch and she left.
She was also super into fitness as well, right?
Super, super into fitness.
And this was, like, soon after he started the Thrive experience.
I would say, yeah, like, this was probably within the month that he started Thrive. I think this was also within the month that Shanann had started Thrive, right?
Shanann started Thrive way longer before that. It took him a while.
Before she was pregnant?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So he had started Thrive within the month or two. He had actually lost quite a bit of weight at this point.
He looked good.
He was looking really good, muscular, like he was up and up. So she claims that she went over, they set up his fitness app on his phone, and they ate lunch, and she left.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I believe about that, but besides the point,
she
also claimed that the only other time she went to his house was on the weekend of July 14th or 15th. And that kind of sticks out to me because that makes me feel like she stayed there. The fact that you said it was a weekend, it was the 14th or the 15th, you'd know.
So you think that she stayed from the 4th till then?
No. I'm saying I think she stayed overnight.
The 14th or the 15th. The 14th
into the 15th.
Okay.
I could be wrong. But regardless, whatever.
Pull up a calendar, bitch.
Chris at this point had told Nicole that he wanted to fix his relationship with Shanann, and Shanann didn't. Shanann had no interest in fixing the relationship, blah, 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 because Nicole had questioned him. She saw the pictures of him and his family in the house and was like, what's wrong with your, what, you have a beautiful family. Mm-hmm. Like, what's wrong here? Why don't you want to fix this? And he claimed to her that he wanted to fix it. Shanann was walking out. She was done, blah, blah, blah. Now, mind you, at this point, Nicole Kessinger claims that, you know, she didn't know that Shanann was pregnant either. She had no idea of this. That's at this point. Now, after this, after the July 14th or 15th, I believe, is when Chris flies down to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
They have the issues of the OBGYN appointment, of him not wanting to touch her. He didn't want to kiss her, this, that, and the other thing. And they fly back to Colorado the first week of August. So after they fly back, pretty quickly, Shanann leaves for a business trip in Arizona with Lavelle, or Thrive, whatever. Lavelle is the big company that owns Thrive. From August 9th, I believe it was August 9th to August 13th. And from what I understand, while she was on that trip, her friend said she wasn't eating. She was very depressed. She was very off. Two of her friends that were on that trip, her friend Nicole, not Nicole who was having an affair with Chris, a different Nicole, and her friend Addie were claiming that she wasn't eating, she was depressed. She had told them about her and Chris's marital issues, pretty much.
The best weight I've ever been in is after a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a heartache. Like, literally, like, my last breakup I was the best shape I've ever been in. But mentally, I was not the best shape.
Of course, that's how it goes.
So I get that 100%. You might look your best, but you don't feel your best, so.
So, at this point, while Shanann's away, I mean, this is, like I said, I believe August 9th is when she left. I'm not positive on that, so don't quote me on that. But from August 9th to August 13th, Chris had gotten together with, he calls Nicole Kessinger Nikki.
Ugh.
He calls her Nikki.
Gross.
Which
is so trashy to me. I'm throwing up.
I know. So he had gotten together with Nikki multiple times in that period. And the final time was August 11th, which was a Saturday. So Shanann was coming home August 13th, which was an early, early Monday morning. But I have here that he got together with her multiple times, including August 11th when he hired a babysitter, which was one of his friend's daughters. He reached out to his friend. Do you think that your daughter, I'm not sure of her name, so-and-so could come watch my two kids? I'm going to a Rockies game with people from work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she could do that? And he also told Shanann the same thing, I believe. I think that he actually expressed it. He didn't just do it. So he told Shanann, I'm going to a Rockies game with the guys from work, yada, 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 XYZ. Fine. So he went to this Rockies game when in reality he went to a restaurant called The Lazy Dog. Kind of near that area.
It sounds like it's like a Buffalo Wild Wings.
It does. It totally does. And the bill came out to $62, I believe, is what was the discrepancy.
Wow.
So Shanann reached out to him and was like, what the hell? Why? I know you're going to the Rockies game. I know that you're going out to dinner with the guys from work. Why was your dinner $62?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
a valid question.
Right. Like, I couldn't understand or comprehend why that would be the case.
Right.
So he claims to her that it was because he ordered a salmon, and that's why. And he had a couple of drinks.
A salmon, which is probably, what, $25?
$25. Could you imagine spending $40 on drinks? Come on. Before a Rockies game?
Wasted.
And you're going to drive home?
Wasted.
Stop it. So in reality, he was taking Nikki out to the lazy dog.
At least lie and say you're like, oh, I'm taking Joe Schmo.
I paid for my friend and he's paying me cash back or something. I don't fucking know.
Stupid.
So she was definitely upset about this. I believe her friend Nicole actually said that she had said something to her about the fact that she thought for sure at this point that Chris was having an affair. Because there was a period in time when she was in North Carolina that she actually expressed to a friend where she said, you know, the only thing I can think of is that he's having an affair with another woman, but I don't think that he has it in him.
Right.
And I believe that she expressed to her friend Nicole, not through text or anything actually written, but from what her friend Nicole says, that she thought that he was having an affair. So I'm going to read you everything from the minute that Shanann got home until the following day that police showed up. So what I find so interesting, not necessarily interesting about this case, but so wild about this case is the fact that it's so recent, the fact that we have so much evidence. But besides that, we have Shanann's whereabouts from 1:48 a.m. until pretty much, I mean, now, not what I'm telling you, but now until what, 5:40 a.m.? So we have 4 hours of missing footage. And that, I think, is what really digs into everybody's head. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you agree with that? Like,
I 100% agree.
The fact that we have so much information, but we have 4 hours missing of what actually happened.
It's a long time.
It is, but it's so small at the same time.
It's short, but it's long.
It's such a weird amount of time. So, yeah. So I'm going to read to you what happened on August 13th of 2018. And we talk about this all the time. That's why we wanted to cover this first, I think, is because of the fact that we both got so invested into this.
Yeah. Still to this day.
To this day. And we're in a... We're both in a Facebook group, actually.
It's funny that you bring that up because earlier today I was scrolling. And someone in that group, I screenshot this at 10:30 this morning. It said, I can't let this go. I can't let this case go. Why? Anyone feel like this? Sometimes I drive myself crazy rereading things and watching endless videos. I watch a lot of true crime stuff, and this is the only case I always go back to. I just don't understand why I can't wrap my head around it and let it go. And I feel like not only you and I, and not only this person that posted that, like, a lot of people feel like that.
So, pretty much, what had happened at this point in time is Shanann's flight had actually gotten canceled, postponed, because of weather, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, her and her friend Nicole, they were both from this, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes away from each other in Colorado.
Yeah.
They were both flying back. They did all of their trips together. They were both Thrive consultants. And they had finally gotten in after a long trip home from Arizona to Colorado. Like, it's such a short trip, but all the delays and everything like that, it was such a long trip. So they finally got home. They landed, and they had texted their other friend, Addie, that they had landed. When they did, I want to say that was at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So on August 13th at 1:48 a.m. Shanann and Chris had a Ring doorbell, and that caught Shanann coming in at 1:48 a.m. Her friend Nicole had dropped her off because after the delayed flight, that's why it took so long. And Shanann had told Nicole, I don't remember, I could be wrong, I don't remember this being in text messages, but she had told Nicole that she was going to actually crawl in bed and try to have sex with Chris.
Yeah.
Was that in text messages?
I'm pretty
or was
sure
that
was in text.
Was that, it was?
In my, I couldn't I feel find like it. It was. There were so many texts.
there were so many texts, and I couldn't find that. I couldn't remember if it was verbal or text or whatever. Regardless, she had said to one of her friends, I'm going to crawl in bed. I'm going to try to have sex with Chris.
Also, like, that sounds horrible.
It's so sad to me. Like, I can't imagine, like, and again, like, I don't have a relationship that's this long, but you do. Mm-hmm. You have a relationship that's this long.
Right. And I wouldn't come home off a flight and be like, I really want to have sex. I'm going to try, right now. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm really going to
bed. Can you imagine how desperate she is? Like, imagine, was so desperate. This is the thing. Like, imagine if you felt that you needed to reach out to me to be like, I'm this desperate.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that has to be heartbreaking.
Because he will never, I don't even think he knows why.
No.
I feel like he doesn't.
He doesn't.
No.
Because he's a narcissist.
Right.
But that's besides the point. We're going to get to him. So I want to start touching on what happened on August 13th. So that happens, and, it was pretty much a, not a camera, but a motion detector. They had a security system on the first level of their house.
How bougie.
Vivint, Vivint, V-I-V-I-N-T. And it detected no movement on the floor from 1:48, so that's when we know Shanann went into the house, until 4:23 a.m. So pretty much what I have is at 1:48, she walks in. From what we know now, she leaves her suitcase, goes upstairs. There's no movement whatsoever on the first floor at 1:48 until 4:23. So she went upstairs.
Right.
There was no movement downstairs. And Chris claims now that she had tried to have sex with him and they did have sex. And the last time that she was actually physically seen alive on any sort of surveillance or anything like that was 1:48 a.m. So this is where this episode is going to end. As I was editing, I realized how long this episode was turning out to be. I thought I could kind of trim some out, but there's just so much information on this case that I'm going to have to make this into a two-part episode, which I did not say in the beginning. I'm going to cut this one off here. This is pretty much everything leading up to the days that the murders took place and the last time that we saw Shanann alive. So the next episode is going to be the timeline of the case, everything that happened, everything that came out in the discovery, everything that came out in Chris Watts' recorded confession with the FBI, and everything that kind of came out from the most recent book. So thank you guys so much for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast. We are now on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, I believe Bleaker is what the other one is called. So I think that we're on 4 platforms. We also have a Facebook page. If you guys could go like that and rate it for us, it really does help us out. And also, go follow our Instagram. Our Instagram is Wine Crime TV Time Pod. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks.